The scripture reading for today is taken from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 13, as well as Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing, anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. My name is Wen Chong, and I'm a pastor here in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church, and it will be my privilege to bring us God's Word this morning. I have questions for you. Do you remember the person who shared the gospel with you? Do you remember why and when you decided to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And lastly, can you imagine how life would be if nobody shared the gospel with you? For me, it was when I was in primary school that I was first introduced to Christianity by my helper from Philippines. She carried this book that I found very strange because it had holes by the side of the pages. But at that point of time, I knew very little about Christianity. I just knew that there was this religion. It was only when I came to PHS and when I joined the BB Gospel Camp, when I was in Boys Brigade, did I hear the shivering news about the gospel. Because at my gospel camp, Pastor Andrew brought us out into the cemetery and to sit among tombstones, sharing with us that Jesus died and rose again. And that because of that, we didn't need to die. Yet, I didn't respond to the gospel at that time, because I was wondering why I was at a tombstone, why I was at a cemetery, more than the gospel message itself. It was only at an invitation of one of my BB officers' home did he share with me that Jesus loves me and that I didn't need to go to hell because his death and resurrection has saved me and I can be with God in heaven forever. It was at this point did I officially say the prayer to invite Jesus into my life? So, by name, I was a Christian. But for those of you who know me when I was in secondary school, many of my lifestyle choices didn't quite match my message. You cannot imagine the number of people that I've stumbled and irked through the years of being a hypocritical Christian. But after many trials and errors, I was given the opportunity to share the gospel with a BB boy when I was a befriender at its recruits camp. That was the first time I led somebody to pray and to believe in Jesus. Looking back, I realized that it took me a while to believe in Jesus. And it took me even longer to allow what I believe to translate into transformation. So I'm thankful for the different people the Lord used as lamps to illuminate the way for me to see His light. I'm especially thankful for that BB officer who gave me the wonderful news of not needing to go to hell. So, as a living witness here, as Christ's work, I would like to share some insights that I've gleaned and reflected of how, as us, as AMKPC, we can be lamps for Christ. So this morning, I would like to examine Jesus and understand the nature of light and how it shines in the darkness. After which, I'll be exploring John the Baptist, who came to be a witness to the light and to preach and live a life that is coherent with his message. Finally, we will spend some time as an AMKPC community to consider what it means for us today. Before I begin, let us pray. Dear Lord, may you shine out the darkness in our lives by the preaching of your word. Give us a hunger for your word and thirst for your truths. Illuminate our hearts to act upon what we hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Point number one, Jesus, our true light in the darkness. The scripture passage taken from the book of John introduces the main character of his entire book, Jesus. In these short few verses, there are three metaphors that John used to describe Jesus. From the first few verses, we are told that he is the Word, spelled with a capital W. And this Word was what created all things. In other words, the biblical author is alluding that Jesus was with God in the beginning and was involved in the process of creation. Not only does Jesus create life, we are told in verse 5 that he is the one who sustains life as well. So in verse 5, we are told that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is life as well as light. You see, the biblical author wrote these five verses with the creation story in Genesis in mind. First, God creates by speaking, and one of the first of his creation was light. There was so much darkness. In verse 1, it tells us that the darkness was over the face in the deep. But despite the darkness being so overwhelming and everywhere, the light still prevailed. And this is an important detail. The biblical theme of light is almost always used to shine out darkness. Not just in the Bible, but even in our real lives. Darkness also is used as a metaphor in the Bible for various reasons. It could be used to describe evil or forces of darkness that works against good. Darkness can also sometimes refer to persons who are blinded from the truth. Such persons live in darkness. They cannot and will not appreciate the light because their hearts and eyes are darkened by the lies of this world. Light is usually affiliated with life, and darkness affiliated with death. And this was the state the world was in when Jesus entered our world. He came as light into the darkness. And because the world was so darkened, they didn't even recognize that God had come. This was especially so for the religious leaders and high officials. For them, Jesus was bad news. Here to stir a mob, here to upset the status quo, to disrespect their way of life, and to disrupt their living. This is later repeated when the gospel writer tells us that the world Jesus came to did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to he who receives him, he gives the right to become the children of God. So who were those who were able to receive Jesus as good news? Those who were living in the shadows of the oppressive and darkened world that they are living in. Surprisingly, Jesus was good news to those who recognized the bad news in their lives. Lepers, widows, the hungry, the poor, the outcasts. When the world, when the rest of the world saw Jesus as bad news, these were the people who saw Jesus as he was. Light for their darkness, good news for their bad news. So I ask again, do you remember the person who shared the gospel with you? Do you remember why and when you decided to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And can you imagine if nobody shared the gospel with you? As I ponder, Jesus was only good news to me because I recognized the bad news in the way of my life. You see, I grew up in a Chinese religious family. As a family, we would often go to the temple to honor the deceased during Qingming, and I even went to Chinese religious camps at the temple to stay over. If there is one thing that I learned from my family's beliefs, is that if you do good, you will go to a good place. But if you were to do bad, you will definitely not go to the good place. In fact, this place that if you do bad is designed is called hell. And in the Chinese tradition, if you can go to Hopa Villa and see today, there are 18 levels of hell, each level for a sin that you committed. So, eagerly, I went to check up of the sins that I committed and which level I belong to. After I checked, I was very sure I belong here after I die. To top it off, my father often brought me to consultations with spirit mediums in Hokkien or Teochew called Tangki. And I was a very, very naughty boy at that time. So he brought me to a specific deity who would deal with naughty children. And this was what my consultation diagnosis was. The only thing I can vaguely remember every time I go there, he would say in Hokkien is, Li kai kia jin pai, or this Teochew, which means your son is very, very bad. I think this was the backdrop that I had when I understood the life of Jesus and how he was good news. The bad news that I've been receiving for years just informed me that I wasn't a good person. But the good news of Jesus was shared with me by an officer who told me that Jesus still loves me despite of my action and wants me to be with him in heaven. So in 2001, I received Jesus as my true light. And 21 years later, now in 2022, Jesus is still shining out the darkness in my life. The good news made sense to me because I think that my BB officer understood what was the bad news in my life and shared with me a loving message that involved hell, sin, and repentance. And because this worked for me and I became a Christian, I realized too that I do this for my own ministry as well. I now lovingly shed light in the darkness in the lives of others. And like I shared earlier on, it's with a lot of head bumping and toe stepping that I've learned to shine Christ's light to show others the darkness and to offer the hope that Christ gives to them. How about you? How is the light of Christ in you today? Can you recount and recognize the darkness in your life that he has illuminated? How about your evangelism efforts? Have you been able to tell others about the good news recently? I read about this illustration in this book called Evangelism in a Skeptical World. This is a book that I highly recommend if you are sincerely keen on sharing your faith with others but need some guidance as to how you can frame the gospel to be more relevant to the listeners here in the 21st century. Sam Chan says this, that we will not appreciate someone who breaks into our house and carries us on his shoulders out of our homes if we don't recognize that we are in danger because of the surrounding fire. Likewise, our good news of Jesus will not be very relevant or appreciated if we do not first recognize the bad news in those that we are trying to reach out to. One other point I'd like to make before I move on to the second point, which is John, is that Jesus is the true light. This means that Jesus is the one and only reason why our evangelism efforts will work. He is the one and only one who can cause a darkened heart and to be loved and to be illuminated. But also note this, if you remember, we just celebrated Easter and know that Jesus himself also died and suffered, that the world rejected this light and even put him to the cross. Not everyone that we shine the light of Christ will respond with appreciation and respect. There will be surely those that will frown upon the gospel. So for example, recently this very viral video that's sparking a lot of discussion on the internet is this 24-year-old Singaporean man by the name of Jonathan Neo. I wonder if you've seen the video. So he's on his way back from Ukraine on Easter, and he decided to take his guitar to strum and sing some worship songs with the permission of the air stewardess. He was in his own way shining the light of Christ to those on board. But as the picture you can see, then not all the passengers were happy about his religious display. Even though there were those that sang along and had tears in their eyes as he shared the songs. We live in a world that is filled with darkness. And that's why Jesus had to come. He came to shine in the darkness. And for those who recognize their darkness, will appreciate the hope and joy the light of Christ brings. But for those who want to remain in their darkness, will find the light of Christ annoying or even agitating because it seeks to shine in dark places. So, if Jesus is light, what about John the Baptist? In John chapter 5, verse 35, it says, Jesus calls John the Baptist a burning and shining lamp. A view that our early church father Augustine states. He says, before our Lord Jesus came, he lighted and sent many prophetic lamps before him. Of these was also John the Baptist. So, what is a lamp? It is important to know that a lamp is not light itself. It is designed to hold light, but it is not itself a light. A lamp also is used to shine out the darkness around. Its design is so that it can hold light to shine darkness. So how is John the Baptist a lamp for Christ? Two hallmarks of John that distinguish John from his contemporaries. Number one, his preaching. And number two, his living. John preached a singular message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. His message, unlike mine, is very short and sweet. It was clear and concise. John was calling his listeners to turn from their wrong ways and to live right with God. John's message shines in the darkness of his listeners to repent from their way of life. And Jesus praised John for being a lamp for Christ because the message that John preached was the same one Jesus came to preach, as you can see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. So while these short 9 words seem like a simple and easy message to preach, I can almost assure you that it is not easy or simple. Preaching requires preparation. Every preacher knows it. It's gruesome work to study the text, to meditate, to reflect, and propose a coherent theme that will send your listeners home with a word from the Lord. John must have studied the scriptures very hard to derive his 9-word sermon. And he must have observed and listened to the people of his time to know that the good news that he can share with others required them to recognize their bad news and repent from their sin. So likewise, when we think and consider what to say to those that we are reaching out to, take time to carefully examine the scriptures. Take time to pray. Reflect on what it means first to you, and then what it means to your listener. Put yourself in their shoes, empathize and understand the bad news in their lives. before you present the good news of Jesus to your guest. When I was preparing this, I was reminded that actually I have a group of people that is like that, which are the youth leaders in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Actually, y'all don't know, but every time before a new Bible study material is launched, they are very eager to get the material quickly so that they can prepare the word. And they take a lot of time to prepare. They will plan early because they know they have very busy schedules and they don't want to leave something so important to the last minute. Not only will they prepare the Bible study sessions, many of the leaders will try to understand how these sessions might relate to their youths and what is going on in their lives. So thank you, youth leaders, for being a lamp for Christ. We go back to John. So from John's 9-word sermon, we learn that we have to prepare for our gospel presentation. Listen well to God in the scriptures, and then listen deeply into the lives of our listeners. Spend more time preparing and listening than actually speaking and preaching. John didn't use too many words for his listeners to turn to God. Likewise, we don't need too many words as well, because sometimes less is more. So meditate, reflect, and pray that God will give you a word for your friend. The next reason why Jesus, as well as anyone in John's time, can recognize that he was a lamp for Christ was through his living. His lifestyle choice, his fashion decisions, and his diet was a simple way of living. Nobody in John's time was second-guess if John was being faithful with his teaching. His sermon was not only preached, it was lived. John made a point by eating honey and locusts and clothed himself in camel hair as opposed to lavish living and luxury. And it worked. We are told that his message was received by so many who came to be baptized and to confess their sins. So, if you were to go to John's baptism today, it will be very clear. It means that you recognize the sin in your life and you want to be cleansed through baptism. John led a life that drew men from all over to in the middle of the desert. John lived out what he was preaching. His message as well as his life was one. One of the biggest criticisms Christianity faces is hypocrisy, which in the original Greek, it means act. Or if you were to be a hypocrite, means that you were an actor. We say one thing, but when the watching world looks at our lives, they see a person that contradicts the message. So, if you preach the message of Christ without a lifestyle to back it up, it's very likely that people will put you off by naming you a hypocrite. Remember just now I mentioned that I stumbled many people when entering to the faith? It's mostly because there was a great mismatch between the message that I profess and the life that I was living. I believe that I was truly repugnant to many, even to other Christians. And I am not speculating. I recall this once that there was this very nice CG member of mine when I was a youth who opened up her home for us to go to CG. Upon reaching her home, I chanced upon her family portrait hanging on the wall, and I made fun of her brother's looks in front of her. At that time, I just thought it was funny, you know, and I didn't care less about it. Only to know, a few years later, that I was the reason she left church. Because of my behavior, she was hurt, and she didn't come back anymore. My action didn't match my message. I professed the gospel, but sadly, I didn't live it out. And therefore, I put off people by being a hypocrite. Then, there is the other school of thought, if you're not a hypocrite. This other camp opposite of a hypocrite posits that I will preach the gospel with my life. A common term for this is called lifestyle evangelism. So sayings like preach the gospel and use words when necessary becomes a slogan for a lifestyle evangelist. And don't get me wrong, I have a great deal of respect for people who live daily the gospel that they believe in. But I must say that this view of evangelism is also incomplete, because there is no one proclaiming to them, that attributing the behavior to our Lord Jesus. Even Jesus himself, who is the very embodiment of lifestyle evangelism, took time to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Preaching on multiple occasions, using parables to help his listeners imagine the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, it is not enough to just preach without living an exemplary life. But neither is it sufficient for us to adopt a lifestyle evangelist and not speak actually about the gospel. So what does the life of John teach us? It tells us that he is a lamp for Christ and Jesus is the light, but he is the one who came, he came to bear witness to this light. How did John become a lamb? By preaching, and not just with words, preaching that is backed up with his lifestyle. Not just evangelizing with his peculiar fashion sense and diet, but with a clear and shining message that is prepared to shine out the darkness in his listeners. In fact, a few chapters down the road, in the book of John, you'll be told that that's exactly what John got into trouble for, because he called out on a marriage that was by Herod, and he died because of that. That's the very nature of God, the very nature of his word, the very nature of light. It shines in the darkness and brings light into the darkness. So what does this all mean for us today? What are some lessons we can learn from Jesus, our true light, and John, his lamp? From Jesus, our true light, we learn that light shines in the darkness. And for those who recognize their darkness, Jesus is good news, as the light of Christ will be one of hope and illumination. But we can also be prepared that not everyone is going to like our light as we shine it in the dark corners of their lives. And I think one very important lesson that we can learn from this is that good news is only good when someone recognizes the bad news. From John the Baptist, we learn that we all need to preach Jesus Christ with both our lives and proclamation. We don't want to be found as a hypocrite, where we are not practicing what we preach, but neither do we want to be seen passively living the Christian life without proclaiming. So let's prepare our lives and message to be one that shines the light of Christ in the darkness and people around us. So, fellow lamps of Christ, all of us, how is the Christ light in you? How have you been shining for our Lord Jesus? Can others see from your lifestyle and your message that Jesus is your Lord? What then are some things that are hindering you from sharing your faith with someone? For the benefit of those who might be new to us, or because this is our first time we came back for physical service, have you not seen this for a while, our church actually came up with an initiative to reach out to those around us. The acronym LAMPS spell out a step-by-step way for us to reach out to our friends and loved ones. Okay, so I'll go through them for the benefit of those who have never heard of it before. So L stands up for look out for someone. Perhaps someone that God has placed in your life, in your class, in your clique, your vicinity, or maybe just somebody that you meet on a daily basis. Someone that you know needs the Lord. The next thing is A. What you do is you ask God, which means we pray and intercede for this person that the Lord has impressed upon you. Pray for opportunities to rise and so that you can have a chance to connect with him or her. And after you are able to connect, the next one is M, which is all of Singaporean favorite, which is makan. A colloquial term for us of having a meal with someone. This particular step allows us to spend time to listen to our friend, and not necessarily at this point we need to talk about faith yet.
But meals make for a very natural icebreaker, isn't it? We only sit with people that we are comfortable with. But then comes the next step, which is P. So when the opportunity arises, what we do is we proclaim. This is your time to shine. And share the gospel message with your friend so that they hear about the gospel and how Jesus is Lord. Not just to you, but to him or her as well. And the final letter is S, which stands for share this wonderful news. Share your story to encourage others. Sorry, I didn't write down what S was. You could share it either with your fellow cell group mates, share it at your prayer meeting, so that more people can come alongside to encourage you in your outreach efforts. But this tool might also inspire and encourage them to do the same, to reach out to someone in their lives. And if this is not enough, to encourage our evangelism efforts, AMKPC also play a role in hosting a yearly Alpha for the past 2 years. And this year, it will be a physical one. So that we can all have a common platform to makan and proclaim parts of being lambs of Christ. Bear in mind, Alpha is here to serve you. To serve you to complete your role as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be awkward when we ask somebody to come for Alpha? Is it worth taking the risk? I'll answer this question with more questions. Do you remember the person who shared the gospel with you? Do you remember why and when you decided to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And can you imagine if nobody shared the gospel with you? Jesus being light, we learn that our light was given to us by grace. We have light in our lives, but a great deal many people around us, in your workplaces, in your homes, in your schools, do not have this light. And therefore, they do not have life. And for those who accept Jesus, there will always be those who wouldn't. Our role as Christians, as lambs for Christ, is to shine. Not just when it is pleasant or when we are with other Christians, but we are to shine in the darkness. And we know that some will not like it. Who likes to be told of their sins? But this is the mysterious and wonderful way Jesus chose to save us. The good news for those who realize the bad news. So just as Jesus is light, John must be the lamp. Because he himself declares that he is not the light. Through John's example, we learn that his message was clear. Not only was it clear and sharp, his shining message was paired with a lifestyle. We also learn that if you preach but don't live out your life, you are a hypocrite. But if you live it and don't preach, the watching world will not know who you are living for. And there will come a point, eventually, that you will need to proclaim the message of Jesus being your Lord and Savior. And finally, as we ponder and reflect about our very own initiative and even us as AMKPC for being lamps for Christ, we have to ask ourselves if we have been shining the light that we receive in the right places. Have we been good or bad lamps? Are we a lamp that is hidden under a bowl? Both John the Baptist and Jesus gave up their lives because of the message they were proclaiming. And their names live on even until today, 2,000 years later. What will you want others to remember your message was? What kind of messenger will you be? So as Alpha is around the corner, let us take some time to pray and consider the light that you have received. And can you imagine how your life would be if you had not received Jesus into your life? Now, think about those people that you've thought about just now. Darkened people who have not yet met Jesus. How can you be lamps for Christ and invite them to receive the life that you have? God is not looking for very big lights like pastors and missionaries. He needs all of us to shine in the places that he has placed you. Your workplaces, your classmates, your close group of friends, your family, your relatives, your loved ones. Take the courage and persist in inviting them for Alpha. Make it a point that you will invite a friend or a loved one to Alpha this year. Let us pray. O Lord, you are light. You came into our darkness and shined your light. And that light, we have life, life everlasting. Life is it's never the same. We are immensely grateful for receiving this light that we did not earn by our merit, but by your grace. And now you call us to be lamps for you, to bring the Christ light we receive into the world and to those who are living in darkness. Give us the ability to shine. Give us the courage to preach and live out the gospel that we know. And through us, others might come to know and experience your love in their lives. God, we also want to pray that you reveal to us a person that we might want to invite for Alpha this May. Go before us, reach out to them, so that, Lord, you give them the same burden to want to come for our Alpha. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.